I love asking older Christians this question. Did the will of God for you turn out to be what you thought it was going to be? And I think almost invariably, I get a smile, and the answer is no.
Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about something to offer. I'm sure many of you saw the beautiful movie Sound of Music. I don't remember how many times I saw it, at least two or three, I'm sure. And you remember that that young woman was a novice in a convent. Her name was Maria von Trapp. As a young woman, she had loved the mountains of her native Austria, and she thrilled to think that they were a gift from God, that God had given her those mountains as a gift to enjoy. And as she thought about that, she said, if God has given me all of this, then I must give Him something. What can I give Him? Thinking over what she had to give, she realized that it was very little. She must give Him everything. And within her terms of reference, she knew that giving her life to God meant, in a most literal way, going into a convent, becoming a nun, and never coming out. As many disciples discover, the will of God turns out to be quite different from their expectations. In fact, I love asking older Christians this question. Did the will of God for you turn out to be what you thought it was going to be? And I think almost invariably, I get a smile, and the answer is no. Not at all. Not at all what I thought it was going to be. But was it better? Yes, it was better. Was it bigger? Yes, it was bigger. But totally different. So Maria went into the convent, but it wasn't very long before the nuns decided that they really didn't know what to do with Maria. How do you solve a problem like Maria? And the solution that they came up with was that they would send her out to become the governess to a widower's children. The widower had contacted the nuns with the request that they send a teacher and a governess for his children, and Maria was the one assigned to the job. And that's how the story of The Sound of Music began, a story familiar to thousands. For me to give God everything must mean that I give Him not only my body as a living sacrifice, but everything else as well. All that I am, all that I have, all that I do, and all that I suffer. That covers quite a bit of territory, doesn't it? But the particular ground that we're discussing is one form of suffering, loneliness. I've said that it can be seen as a gift. Some of you who did not hear that particular talk may wonder how in the world you can call loneliness a gift. But the older I get, the more I see everything in my life as a gift, because it's part of a divine design that God is working out on a tapestry which I can see only the wrong side of, a tapestry where He's working on the upper side, and I can see just the chaos and tangle of threads on the underside. So loneliness is a part of the pattern. It's necessary in that pattern as one of the dark threads, just as necessary as the threads of beautiful colors and the threads of gold and silver. Maria von Trapp began by offering to God the gift of herself. This is where we must begin as well. We don't enrich God. Remember, we're talking about a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. There's no way we can enrich Him, because as the old prayer says, all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee. We don't have anything except what was his in the first place. In Romans 12, verse 1, we read, "With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you as an act of intelligent worship to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him." Here's the place to start. What is it that makes this ordinary female, middle-aged body of mine holy and acceptable? It's simply the fact that I offer it to him. I don't have anything else to offer. And when I give him my body, I give him everything that that body contains: my mind, my heart, my will, my emotions, my temperament, my prejudices, my peculiarities, all that makes up what Elizabeth Elliot is, I present in utter abandonment, saying, "Lord, here I am, take me, do anything you can with me." And God knows what to do with us when we commit ourselves totally and unreservedly and irrevocably into his hands. In his wisdom and loving kindness, he has given each of us a particular body of a particular design and construction, prepared for us from before the foundation of the world, a body that bears his image, a body distinct from all others. Have you ever thought what chaos the world would be if we were all cut out of the same pattern? We can't offer it unless we first receive it. We don't have anything to give except what we have received. Maybe you've never even thought of receiving the body that you have as a gift from God. Well, how about trying that? How about just lifting up your hands to God and saying, "Lord, I receive this body as your gift, with its age, its height, its color, its sex, things that I had nothing to do with. I take it. Just as Jesus said, 'A body hast thou prepared for me.'" And when God prepared a body for his son Jesus to live in here on earth, it was a Jewish body. He had no choice about the parentage, the race from which he came. And he received that body and offered it up as a living sacrifice. If we follow him, we offer up this body that he has given to each of us, with its beauties, its imperfections, its limitations, its potentialities. Do you envy somebody else's body? Do you particularly envy somebody else's age? I happen to be 61 years old. I'm tempted sometimes to envy the younger people, until I remember, look, God didn't ask me what year I wanted to be born. He chose that for me. And so, in this year in which I'm talking, that is my age. I have no options about that. Will I receive this, my age, as a part of God's gift to me, to be offered back to him? There are limitations, but there are limitations at every age. There are imperfections. If you envy somebody else's body or somebody else's age or somebody else's talents or gifts, have you ever stopped to think that that person has a different set of imperfections? Do you even envy somebody else's husband, for example, and think, well, he doesn't have the faults that my husband has? No, he doesn't. And maybe it's a good thing that you didn't get stuck with his particular set of imperfections. They might even be worse than your husband's particular set. And each of us has not only beauties and imperfections and limitations, but potentialities. So it's this body and nobody else's that is my offering. It's not just made of blood, bone, and tissue. It's the dwelling of the self, spirit, mind, heart, will, emotions, temperament. It must be offered wholeheartedly, simply, and with no quibbles about its fitness. Wouldn't you and I be in big trouble if we had to make ourselves fit before we could offer ourselves to God? I think of an old hymn that I learned when I was a teenager. that says, "Come not to find, but make this troubled heart a dwelling worthy of thee as thou art." God doesn't come finding our hearts a worthy dwelling. He comes to make them that. And if we refuse to receive the body he's given us, then we cannot possibly offer it back to him. So I say, receive it first, and then give it back. All offerings made to God matter to him because of the single unique offering of Christ for us. When we offer our bodies, and I hope you can follow me here, this may be a little bit difficult to grasp, but when we offer our bodies, we are uniting ourselves with him in his offering. We are, as the scripture says, crucified with Christ. Then this body, which is the dwelling of myself, becomes the dwelling of God himself, a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not my own, because I am one with Christ and my offering is taken up into his offering. It's a little like a father who receives a Christmas present from a child who has been given the money to buy that present. The child couldn't have had the wherewithal to buy his father a Christmas present if his father hadn't given it to him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.